the collection in Russia was in the city of Lubavitch, in the house of the rabbis, generation after generation, till the First World War, when the Germans came closer to the city of Lubavitch. They took it out from there in 35 large crates and sent it with a train to Moscow, to a storage house of one of their chassidim, and it was kept there till after the war. After the war, the previous Rebbe wanted to take it out from there, so the authorities didn't let him, and they took it away to the public library in Moscow. Then was called Rumyantsev. So since then, it is there. It was taken over to the library in 1924. And since then, it is kept in the library. For several years, the previous Rebbe tried his best to secure their return, in always from inside and from through governments outside. It didn't help till the very difficult period of 1936, where for just talking about it, you would get killed. So they stopped doing that. That's how it was left till 1981. In 1981 was after I started working here. So I got a hold of a copy of the catalog of the collection that was cataloged in Lubavitch before taking it away to the storage. So with that catalog, we knew what we have there. So we wanted to ask them to return that. But there wasn't a paper printed in the Turis that it was taken away from the library and given to the Avseksia, the Jewish section of the Communist Party, and they took it away to Kiev, their library. So we didn't know if that is correct or not. If they took it away, then there is nothing left in Moscow. But if they didn't take it away and the report in the paper is false, then it is still in Moscow. So according to this catalog, we could find that out. So in spring of 1981, I sent in a copy to the Rebbe and I asked him if it's worthwhile to try to secure their return, just like the collection that was in Poland. Poland decided to return it to us, so maybe they would do it too. So he kept it for a few months. And then in the middle of the summer, he approached Rabbi Kunin, telling him that in Los Angeles there is Dr. Hammer and Weintraub that have deals with the government of Russia, so maybe they could get them to return it. And that's when it started. We went in 1988. It was since 1981 till 1988, is 7 years. So first he spoke to them, Dr. Hammer, and they answered him they don't know of anything of Lubavitch collection. So then I gave a copy for Dr. Hammer to give it to the government, that you have the list of the books, so then they could try to find out where that collection is. So they kept it for another year or two, and they said they couldn't find anything. So then Dr. Hammer suggested them, would you will that the delegation of the experts of the Lubavitch Library in New York should come to check for it themselves? So they said, pleasure. And that's when we got the visas, the official visas by the government, to invitation to invite us to come to look for the books. We came there, it was a delegation of three, Rabbi Kunin and me and Rabbi Mindel, who was one of the secretaries of the Rebbe, but he spoke Russian. It was easier for us. So when we came there, They just didn't let us go to the storage of the books, and they just say, look in the catalog. So I said, I can recognize the book, but I can't recognize the book according to the catalog. So they said, no, you can't go to the books, only to the catalog. So we notified here to the Rebbe through the secretaries that they don't let us go to the books. So the Rebbe answered, we should try to go according to their rules and try to go to the catalog. The catalog, there was nothing to look for, but I did some homework before. So a half year earlier, one of the emissaries of Chabad went there for a book exhibition. And I gave him a list of the 20 most rare books of that of our list. He should check in the catalog, the regular catalog, if it's there. And if he finds there, so he should write down on each one the number and the shelf and where it is. So he found 12 books and came back and gave me the list. So I knew the 12 books of the collection are there. And you know for sure that if you have 12 rare books in one collection, and again, so you know that the collection is there. So after they didn't permit us, so when we met with the librarian, so I told him, you know what, if I can't go to the collection, try to find for us if you have these 12 books. So he took the list, and next morning he says, yes, I have good news for you, we found it. And this, I asked him, where are they, in the same collection or in separate collections? She says, no, they're all in the same collection. So for myself, I knew that we are on the right track. So we went to the reading room of that collection, and we were waiting half an hour till they brought us out the books. When they brought us out the books, I opened the book, I see the handwriting of the Rebbe. I opened the second book, I see the signature of the Rebbe. So I showed Rabbi Kunin, you see what it is. So it was Friday, we have to notify the Rebbe. So we went right back to the office. In those days you couldn't just call. They have a special office. So from that office they had a special telephone. We called, we notified the secretaries, the secretaries notified the Rebbe on Friday morning. And then that Friday was a real happy Friday in the Rebbe's house. The Rebbetzin called a few friends to tell them the good news that the library was found. That was the first stage. But then started the second stage of getting them to return that. And that started then and still going on. We still didn't return it, and we're still trying to get them to return it.
So you found them, and they acknowledged that they were in the reading room. Who was in power in Russia at the time, and what did you understand the official response was?
We was working against the head director of the library and against the culture minister. Zakharov is his name was then. And they told us that we can't go to the storage, only from the catalog, and they acknowledged that we have the collection of these books, but they didn't let me to see the whole collection. They just only those that I have, and the list I had this, it was enough for us to know that we are in the same collection. So we asked, what is this collection name? They say, it's Polyakov. I say, I know Polyakov, he was a rich man in Russia, and he was very connected to the Lubavitch Rebbe, but what does it do? What does he have to do with this collection? No, it was his collection. What comes out that in those days they didn't want anyone to know that they have a collection of Lubavitch, so they gave it a name to one rich man and they called it his name. So we know that Polyakov collection includes the whole collection of Lubavitch. It was the chief director of the library and the culture minister that was playing with us. They felt we could come there. They wouldn't let us look for it, so we're going to find nothing. They didn't expect me to do for the homework and to know exactly where I'm looking for. So when this librarian, I gave him 12 books, a list of 12 books, just to find out if they have it. So he found them and he brought it to us. He didn't know that the front page would have handwritings of the Rebbe. So it was supposed to be as like kind of a trick, because the librarian was very helpful and he didn't know the background. The director and the culture minister didn't know how we're doing. We were there for a month, and in that month we had a lot of more. Till then it was completely closed, the Soviet Union. We came there as official emissaries, so we went to a lot of places that may be some material. So we went to several cities in Leningrad, Petersburg, and then in Kiev, and Dnipropetrovsk, and Odessa, to look for. We didn't find much, and to Lubavitch. So, but at least we were preoccupied for that month. We knew already where the library is. To secure the return, it's not our obligation. We can't do nothing. Hammer took it over from them, and he dealt with the government that always told him yes, and you know, yes. But I wasn't authorized or capable to influence the culture minister to give us back the books. I was just identifying, and I went to then try to identify other materials in other cities. So I went with Rabbi Kunin in these cities that I mentioned.
So once you've identified them, then it's the Rebbe, I guess, endorsed this idea that Armin Hammer was somebody who could negotiate directly.
Yes.
With them. And he tried to negotiate.
Yes.
Just like he did many things during the Cold War, he was the only one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So did you have any personal dealings with Armin Hammer?
No.
Okay. So then, I assume at some point you come back to speak to the Rebbe, right? And or what was
After we came, we went to all the cities, we came back to Moscow. I was trying to get an appointment with the head of the library to speak to them about it. Rabbi Kunin was forced to go back a day earlier because he had a court case in L.A., about a non-directed, not related subject. So the Rebbe said, I should stay there myself. So I stayed there, and they told us, no, they're not willing to meet me. So there was no purpose for me. So then I came the next day. Actually, it was the day I came on the eve of Chof Beit Shvat, several hours before the Rebbetzin was installed. And but we dealt against this culture minister who was Zakharov. And he says, go back, we'll make a deal. But they meant just go back, and they didn't, there was no continuation, because all efforts of Dr. Hammer didn't help much. He wrote them several letters and he spoke to them, but nothing came out of it till his passing in, I think, in 91.
Okay, so when did you? So at some point the Rebbe sent you back, right, or some of you back to deal with Yeltsin later, right?
It wasn't that yet, Yeltsin. Okay. Then there was the Chernobyl story. So after the Chernobyl, Rabbi Aronov took out many children of the Chernobyl children to take them to Israel and to settle them there. So the Russian government didn't give the permission for all these children to leave Russia. So there was a lady, Veronica, that she helped secure the release of all these hundreds of kids. After they came out, she He said, "Do you have a deal? Do you have a problem with the books? I'm sure I can arrange that too. Come to the delegation and we'll arrange it." Since Rabbi Aronoff was involved with the Chernobyl kids, and also Rabbi Kogan was involved with the Chernobyl kids, so that's why this too was added to the delegation to see what, since they well dealt with Veronica. So then the Rebbe wanted us all four to go. I didn't really feel that I should go right away, because I said, to identify, identified already. To try to influence, it's not really my piece of cake. I'm a librarian and I can try to identify and find, but not so much to influence. So maybe I should stay. I wrote to the Rebbe, maybe I should stay here. And when they'll need me for identifying or anything like that, I'll come over. So he responded, the Rebbe, you're going together with them with help. So go together with them. So I went with them. Actually there, all their meetings, I went to the meetings with them. But I wasn't really the person to try to influence. So most of the time I was sitting there in the yeshiva. We have a yeshiva there. And I gave lectures in the yeshiva. And whenever they went to a meeting, I came out from the yeshiva to go with them. But main occupation was in the yeshiva. So that's how it went on for a year and a half. Part of it was the legal proceeding. Part of all of what we spoke is the legal proceeding with that she wanted, and we were hesitating, and the Rebbe told us to do what she says. So for this legal procedure, we needed the history and details. So that again fell on me to prepare all the history of it, of the books, how it went, where it went. And that was part of my occupation there too, whenever they needed some details of the past. So I had to prepare it.
So you were sort of the scholar in residence who was giving them the background on the books?
More or less I was like the scholar of residence to give them the background of everything they needed. If it's knowledge about the books, or knowledge about the history of the books, or knowledge about the history of Chabad.
Okay. Again, Veronica, what was her last name?
Kogan.
Veronica Kogan. So she was the lead attorney and she was leading the effort in Russia.
Yes.
To get the books back. And so were you called in court to speak on these things, or how did it work with?
I was preparing the papers for the court. I don't write Russian, so I used to sit with Veronica hours and hours. I would speak and she would write. She asked the questions and I responded that if she needed any documents, I would see how to prepare it. And that's what mainly my occupation there was with her. It was so interesting that when we were forced to come back after half a year, and we went again. So we went past all of the Rebbe. So the Rebbe knew everything that's going on there. So when we passed the Rebbe, she went first and we came after her. So when she went and the Rebbe gives her a blessing, and then he points to me, "Does he help you?" And she says, "More than everyone." And then she says, "I speak Russian a little bit." So the Rebbe says, I'm not speaking about Russian. I was speaking about the mission." So she says, "Whatever." That was the discussion. That was my responsibility there, to provide documents and proof for everything that they needed. And whenever they went to a meeting, I went with them. But that wasn't my part, wasn't to try to influence so much.
So how did it turn out in court in Russia, and what was your experience until you left?
In the court, the after everything was presented outside, and the representative of the culture minister, then it was already in 88 was Zakharov, in 91 was Kubenko. So his representative presented their case, and finally, after a few days, they called us again, and the judges said that we are right and they should be returned. He didn't say to return to the States, but he said to return to Chabad. Then they appealed, and then there was appellate court. We went there again. I wanted to explain our view, but the judge didn't let us, so they had a librarian, a rational librarian, a Jewish rational librarian that represented our case. And they okayed the decision that it should be returned to Chabad. They didn't speak about returning to here. They had a view, like what they did many years later, to open their branch of the library, and it should be called like Chabad is running it, but they'll be running it. And we didn't want that. So at least they said that it belongs to Chabad. When they dealt with Hammer before, and they dealt with Clinton and Gore later, I wasn't involved in the negotiations with Clinton or Gore. It was then later when they wanted, their goal was to open their library, but they wanted my help to identify, because in their big collection of Polyakov, several thousands are clear from our collection, but they didn't know how to recognize them. They wanted me to come, and the librarian kept writing to me that they want me to come to help identify. So I said, I should come identify for you to open by you a library? I'm not ready for that. If you are, it's a process of returning, then I'm ready to spend my time on it. So I knew that they don't mean what they say, but they said it's a process of returning. So I went there for a few weeks. I sat with the librarian, and we went through the whole Polyakov collection. It's about 20,000 volumes. And whenever I met a book that I recognize, it's us. So I showed him the proof, and he okayed it, and we went separate. These are the books that are now in the museum of the library that is in the building of the Jewish museum. Because then I also didn't agree to do it unless they'll permit me to stamp on each book that it's the Schneerson Lubavitch collection. They didn't agree to that. But they agreed I should put a sticker on each book that it says it's Lubavitch collection. So I prepared on my computer here in this building thousands and thousands of stickers. On each one was printed collection of Lubavitch, and I went with that there. And together we will set one on each book that we recognize, we put the sticker. The sticker is still now there. If you ever saw the books, they're all on the cover. You see a sticker, it says in Hebrew, collection of Lubavitch, Oitz of Lubavitch. So that was the last time that I dealt with them. Since 91 till 2000 was 9 years in between. But they wanted me to help them to prepare that library. And even when they prepared that library, they kept begging me to help them secular way, how to recognize things and how to identify things. And I agreed to do that only on the condition that it's on the way, the process on the way to come here. They said so. They had no choice, because otherwise I didn't agree to go. For months they were begging me I should go. And I went. I knew it's not real, but at least I go for a good cause of preparing them to come here.
So when did it become clear that it definitely wasn't coming back here?
It's It is still not clear that they are not going to give it back. They just always say, give us time. But we don't think they are thinking about returning it. Putin showed lately his real face. He's not about to return things or give things. But at least they wanted to show a good gesture of 7 books. So they always speak like that, that they want to return it, but they don't show really their efforts to really return it. So they gave 7 books, but they made them sign that it's a loan. And they said, just sign it's a loan, doesn't matter, because we're returning it. It's the beginning of returning all the books. They just speak like that, but we know it's, that's not what it means. But at least when they say so, I have no guilt feeling that I'm doing something wrong, because officially I'm preparing for the books to come here.
So what was the Rebbe's reaction to these incremental small victories, to getting 7 books back, to getting a little Russian verdict? Like, what did the Rebbe speak about?
The 7 books was given back after the stroke. The Rebbe didn't speak. He just shake his hand. But in that year, the assistant culture minister, they called me up from Washington that they want to come speak to me. So I said, my pleasure. They came on the way from Washington to Moscow. They had to stop in New York, so they came in to speak to me. So they show me papers that they prepared for returning the books, and they wanted me to sign on it. And it says there that we are asking to get the books here for the exhibition. So he says, obviously I'm not signing on it. They wanted me to sign that it's an exhibition, which means that I sign it's their books, and I didn't want to sign on that. So they came with a whole delegation to give me an ambush. I should sign, but I didn't. That was already also in early 1994. So then we didn't have really too much of correspondence with the Rebbe. We went to the court in 2004. It was after that meeting and identifying the books when we saw a year or 2 years or 3 years later that it doesn't go anywhere. They're just telling us nice words, but they're not. So we decided then to go to the court here, to sue them in the court, because the court here will never accept a sue against a different government unless we exhausted our efforts in their courts. We showed them that we exhausted everything. So the court started here in LA. So again, Rabbi Kunin invited me to come to LA to meet with the lawyers, to give them the background and to prepare them. I sat there for 2 days and I gave them the whole background. That's when we started the suit against the government. Then they said that LA is not the proper place for it. It has to be the federal court in Washington. So it was transferred to the court in Washington. And that's when I was involved in proving all the aspects of it, and eventually the court decided that they have to return it. And when they saw that they are losing, they stopped cooperating. So that's when the penalties came on them for several years. When they saw that penalties are coming on them, so they felt the only way for them to level it is to have an arrest warrant against me. So they put an arrest warrant against me for holding that seven books. Until today, I have an arrest warrant against me if for any reason I step on their territory, they'll arrest me. So that's what was the process of the court here. After this court case didn't take us anywhere, so it looked to us that Putin is willing to compromise in some way. So it was one of his close friends, oligarch Friedman, called me several times. He wants to talk to me about the whole procedure. I didn't have faith in that, and I didn't accept it. I didn't want to speak to him. So they went to Rabbit Union, and they explained him the whole situation. So then Yossi Kunin and Chaim Nachum Kunin spoke to them, and it looked real. So finally he said he wants to meet with the whole delegation and with the lawyers. We should come to Moscow and discuss. So we replied, we don't trust a discussion like this to be in Moscow. He should come here. So he says he can't come here. So there was a compromise that we met in Helsinki, which is close to Russia and not in Russia. The whole delegation and their children, including Yossi and Chaim Nochem, and the children of the other delegates, and the lawyers went to Helsinki to meet with Friedman. We met, and he says, I have a good idea. I know that the best thing for Russia is to return the books, but it wouldn't work. So we have to give something to Russia for that. I don't know if you could do it, but I can do it. I have the money to do it. I'll buy something which is officially for the public. It will say it was exchange. You gave this, and they give that. So I'll prepare for that. And then you take it out from court. So there was a whole discussion. We can't take it out from the court. But we accepted his proposal. And he says, come with me to Russia, to Moscow, and over there we'll sign the deal in the government. So Rabbi Kunin and Marshall, our lawyer, went together with them to Moscow. They met with the highest people in the office of Putin. And after all the discussions, they said, okay, you're getting it tomorrow morning. There's no reason for you to stay here. You could go back on the plane. When you land, you'll hear our announcement that we're turning the books with the whole process that we discussed. So they went on the plane. And that morning, he called Lazar to the museum, and he came to the museum, Putin himself, and he gave a declaration that these books are going to stay here in this museum. And since that day, it's in the museum. Should we know if the whole sending to us Friedman is just a hoax, and they wanted to check out if they could do something with us, and when they saw we're not getting too far, so he decided to put it in that hour, change everything, and he called Rabbi Lazar and gave the announcement to the press? Or he thought maybe, and then in the middle of the night he decided against it, and then he called Rabbi Lazar, I want to see you 9 o'clock in the museum, and I'll be there too, and that's why they gave the statement. We don't know. But it was negotiation with us. It looked very real negotiation, because Friedman is very close to Putin, and it looked like he went on his, or on his mission, or with his consent. And he gave us a whole plan, and he said, come to us. And they came in the office of Putin, and they met with his secretaries, and they decided all the details. And then a few hours later, there was a declaration in the museum with Agudazar that this library is staying here. This collection of 7,000, 8,000 or 12,000 volumes is the collection that was purchased by the Rebbes of Chabad over the generations and used by them for generations. And they are the core of this whole library that we have here. And this core of the books that was purchased and used by our Rebbes should come back to the collection of the whole library. There is no question about it, and they know that too. When they start, the court case started in Washington, so their representative gave a statement, let all understand that we have nothing against Lubavitch for trying to get the books. We understand them, but we feel that legally we don't have to. But we understand them, we have nothing against their wishes. So there is nothing in saying that by returning or asking them to return the books, it would damage their relation with Jews or with Chabad in Russia. They understand our point of view, and there is nothing that they want to retaliate for. They understand that. If they gave out against a arrest warrant against me for the 7 books that I'm not returning, it is just to level the penalties that are going on them, which is just a process. But they understand that. There is no reason in the world why they should try to do anything bad to Chabad there. And they didn't do anything to Chabad there in the last 1 year, even though that they know that we went to court and we got penalties on them, because they understand us. They just have to realize that they should return that. What they say is, the truth of the matter is, we want to return the books. But you have to understand, if we return these books to you, because they belong to you, millions of governments and organizations are going to press on us to return them. And we can't go with this snowball, so we don't return that to you. It's nothing that they have against us. They just feel that it's difficult for them for any reason they want to do it, or because they want to show what they call the kulak, to show force, whatever reason, but they have nothing against our wishes. So there is nothing to fear that they will revenge against it. They just have to come to understanding it's in their best interest and in the best interest of Russia to be fair and correct and do what they have to do. And then all other problems will probably be solved in a better way for them. As I mentioned before, that in 1991, when Veronica said that we should go to court against the library in their court, we were very hesitating to start a front of fight in Russia. And we asked the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said we should do what she says. So that's when the court there started. That went on for a year and a half, first in the court and then in the appellate court. And we won them in some sense. But when we saw that this is going to no success, because they are not following it up, so then we decided to start the court here in the States, first in LA and then in Washington.
Okay.
As I mentioned before, all four of us was skeptical about the approach of fighting them and going to court, because the Rebbe said in the past so many times that to Russia, you just diplomacy. Otherwise, it just gets them to get stronger against. So that's what he said about getting the Jews out of Russia, and that's what he said all the time. So we felt that she's forcing us to do something against the approach of the Rebbe, and that's why we notified to the Rebbe what she says, and the Rebbe kept us telling do whatever she says to do. So we went to war. It wasn't like one of the four or the other of the four of the delegation. All of us were afraid to start a fight there, because the Rebbe said so many times, don't fight with them, just diplomacy. But when the Rebbe said we should do whatever she said, and she went full force, so we all went that way. Obviously, each one of our four has his attitude, but the general approach was instruction of the Rebbe to go full force, not just diplomacy.